The reading from Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger for ever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask them. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is the word of the Lord.
I think we're in business.
Good morning. I trust you bear with me. I've had quite a bad chest cold, so my chest has gone to my head. And can we pray together? Dear Holy Spirit, who led and inspired and guided the ancient prophets and scribes who penned your word, we pray you come and touch our hearts, we pray, by the ancient scripture and make it alive to us, we pray. Write your word upon our heart for Jesus' sake. Amen. You do forgive me, ladies, this is Mother's Day, But the great emphasis today is on the fatherhood of God. Psalm 103, if you have your Bibles, and in the church Bible it's page 605. Psalm 103, and you'll be surprised, there we have the Lord's Prayer. Jesus' disciples asked help and guidance in their prayer life. Jesus gave them instruction, what we call the Lord's Prayer. But it should be more correctly called the disciples' or the believers' prayer. It should also be seen as an outline for all our praying, not just a liturgical prayer. If properly understood, it gives us insight into a life of praying. Now, Psalm 103 is a remarkable foretaste of this remarkable prayer. It's a psalm which Jesus' disciples would have been familiar with, possibly since childhood, as it was written as a hymn to be sung in worship in the temple and possibly in the synagogue. It's attributed to King David, who composed many poems set to music for worship in God's house. It's a psalm of praise. Six times we're encouraged to praise the Lord. Verse 1, verse 2, and verses 20 to 22. Praise to God are the bookends of this psalm. The phrase for praise is not hallelujah, but the combination of two words, to kneel and self. Kneel yourself in the presence of God. Translated in other translations as bless the Lord. A reverent acknowledgement of who he is. Somewhat different to what is so often equated today with praise and worship. I do confess I've been in some context where worship bands have been leading, and I've turned and said to my wife, is God deaf? But in this context, the word translated bless the Lord in English brings these two words. It expresses to us humility and drives you to your knees. You get the sense of it. It reaches to the parts that nothing else can. So the psalmist says, O my soul, this praise comes from the depths of our being. It touches the very fibre of our existence. We really mean what we are saying. Bless the Lord, O my soul. In verses 20 and 21 here, we are encouraged to join with angelic beings in this praise, because heaven is filled with the sound of it. Isn't it astonishing that when we join together in worship, we join with the angels in heaven? Do you ever think of that? Do you ever appreciate that? When we sing and praise God, we join with the angels in heaven around the throne in our praise. And then the beginning of verse 21 reminds us that all creation is summoned to praise the Lord. The sun, the moon, the stars in their millions, countless galaxies, the mountains, rivers, streams flowing into the seas and the oceans and plunging into fathomless depths, and everything that inhabits those waters and the sky declare how majestic and glorious the Almighty is. Why? Well, verse 1 tells us, his name is holy. Praise his holy name. And this leads us right into the Lord's Prayer, doesn't it? Our Father, which art in heaven, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. A wee boy once prayed, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed is your name. Or another child said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hello, what is your name? The ancient Jewish scribes so set apart the Lord's name that when they were copying the scriptures, they would not write the word. They made a symbol for Yahweh, or they put in another word rather than write Yahweh. The word hallowed carried with it to set apart. The Hebrew means consecrated, sacred, holy, a uniqueness about the Lord God's name. So we do not take his name in vain or dishonour his name. Wrapped up in God's name is his character, who he is and what he is, holy. Secondly, he forgives all your sins. Forgive us our trespasses, we traditionally say, forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us, we pray. The second bit of the prayer is not so easy, is it? To show forgiveness to those who have wronged us can be no mean thing. Paul, in writing in that great chapter in 1 Corinthians 13 about love, amidst there he says, love keeps no record of wrongs. That's easier said than done, isn't it? So often we carry in our heart and in our mind those hurts that others have done to us. But by knowing the grace and love and mercy of our Heavenly Father towards us, who forgives us all our sins, we read of this in verses 8 to 12 of this chapter. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. For as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. The more we appreciate that, the love and compassion of our Heavenly Father towards us, then the easier it is to forgive others who sin against us and who have hurt us. Thirdly, he is a saving God. Verse 4. He redeemed your life from the pit. So we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or the evil one, some translations have it. Through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been saved from the jaws of hell, haven't we? Never forget it. We pray to be daily helped to overcome Satan's temptations and avoid the traps he sets and the enticements he puts in our way. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Fourthly, he provides everything. Verse 5, he satisfies your desires with good things. Give us today our daily bread. Now that's not just a request for food and drink, but that the Almighty may provide for every aspect of our living, that he may help us each and every day to live not just to exist, but to progress in life. That the Lord, who is a providential God. Now there's a word that has gone out of fashion, but for you and I as God's people, it should be in fashion every day. The providence of God, the God who provides for us in every way. The Lord's Prayer reminds us of that. Give us today our daily bread. And if, as verse 4 tells us, our youth is renewed like the eagles, well, brothers and sisters, isn't that a bonus? Fifthly, God's kingdom. We pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Verses 17 to 18 of the psalm says, but from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. God's kingdom has come and continues to come. In fact, since the days of this psalm being written, has come in an extraordinary way by the coming of Jesus into the world. He established a new and living way, a new covenant through his shed blood, sacrifice once and for all for the sins of the world. His reign has begun. And when we pray these words, we are actually asking for the increase of that kingdom. This is why we have Alpha, for the increase of God's kingdom, isn't it? For the progress of God's kingdom, Jesus' mission in the world. And so when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it's for the extension of God's kingdom in the world. It's a missionary prayer, the Lord's Prayer. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours now and forever, the Lord's Prayer goes on. Verse 19 in Psalm 103. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. The eternal dimension of the kingdom of God. When Jesus returns, that kingdom will be revealed in all its splendor, and he will be shown to be the chief focus of attention. Jesus shall reign wherever the Son, and his kingdom will be revealed to be an eternal, everlasting kingdom. Now, where does all this come from? What is the source of such amazing truth that would cause us to pray with confidence this prayer? And as I said at the beginning, it's not just a prayer to be used as we did this morning liturgically here together in church. I remember my mother taught me this prayer. I think it was the only prayer that she did teach me, actually. But she did teach it to me. She didn't attend church regularly. She did have a little skirmish at church now and then. But she did teach me the Lord's Prayer. And that was very important. It was very true. But I had to learn years later. It's a pattern of all our prayer. It's a guide to help us to understand something about God, our Heavenly Father. Yes, about Jesus, about the kingdom of God. Yes, about ourselves, about God, and so many things that we've only touched on this morning. What a prayer to continue to study, to research, to look at, that we may enter in to its full dimension. What gives us assurance as we take to our hearts and lips the words and the pattern of the prayer that Jesus taught us? Oh, the blessing that flows out to us as we contemplate what Jesus is implying in these words of prayer. Oh, to appreciate the heart from which such an outpouring of kindness comes to us. Where does it come from? Verse 13 of Psalm 103. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. It all comes from God, our Heavenly Father. He is compassionate, the psalmist says, three times in verse 8 and verse 13. He is slow to be angry. He is gracious, verse 8, and abounding in love, verse 8. The Authorized Version says he's plenteous in mercy. Isn't that wonderful? Plenteous in mercy. Now, for years I read my King James Bible and scratched my head in places and said, what did that mean? But having said all that, there are some things I miss about my King James Bible. There were memorable phrases. It had a poetic way of saying things. And this is one of them. Abounding love is good, plenteous in mercy is excellent. There's something that grips you. He's plenteous in mercy. There's something there that grips your soul, isn't it? Verse 9. He does not stay angry forever. Do you see? It's a bad parent that stays angry forever with his child, isn't it? It's a bad parent that scolds his child and then never keeps reminding that child he's bad, he's done evil, he's been naughty, and never lets him off the hook. But God's not like that. He does not stay angry forever, verse 9, nor keep accusing us. Verse 11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. Do you believe in Jesus? Is he your Saviour? This is a promise for you this morning. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for you. So we start the Lord's Prayer. So we start the Lord's Prayer as we approach to the one who can answer the way, answer way beyond anything we can ever imagine or at times our faith can rise. Our Father in heaven. Let's not get over this fact. Now when we first are little babies in Jesus, or when we teach our children to pray, we get them, don't we, to pray to Jesus. But you know, I'm amazed. Please don't take this as a criticism, brothers and sisters. Please don't. But I'm amazed when I listen sometimes to Christians who've been on the road for many, many years, and they don't pray to our Father in heaven. Forgive me, but why don't you pray? This is how Jesus taught us. We come to our Father. Jesus said to his disciples, didn't he? Jesus said to his disciples, he said, you can now pray to the Father the same way that I'm praying to the Father. This is a great privilege, isn't it? We know God, our Heavenly Father. Brothers and sisters, forgive me, let's grow up in the faith. Let's acknowledge our Heavenly Father. Let's be blessed by the fatherhood of God. Let's enjoy our privilege. And Jesus called his Father Abba. That was the very word. When little children were running about the streets in Galilee, they called their father Abba. My little grandson in Germany, because they're in Germany, they call their father Papa. It's a similar word. He calls him Papa. We have the privilege of calling our Father in heaven Papa. What a privilege. Isn't it? What a privilege to call the Almighty God to come to him. It's only because of Jesus, isn't it? And Jesus said, you can do it. You can do it. What an honour. What a privilege. It's no disrespect. He's holy. We saw that at the beginning of our message, didn't we? He's holy. He's different. We must respect him. We must reverence him. Of course we do. But don't ignore him. Don't ignore him. He loves to hear your voice. He loves to hear you speak to him. To acknowledge him. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory. Oh, he deserves it, doesn't he? Let's pray. Oh, loving, gracious, blessed, holy, heavenly Father, we worship, we adore you through your Son, the Lord Jesus, and we're astonished that you stoop down to even look at us, consider us, think on us with such astonishing love. You sent your Son. You loved us that much. You sent your Son into this awful, God-forsaken world to die on the cross. You loved us that much. O Heavenly Father, help us not to neglect you, forget you. Help us not to ignore you, to give you all the honour, the praise and the glory that is yours. It's yours forever and ever. We bless your holy name through the Lord Jesus. Amen.